This is Booth 46, live from Petorino's. Not just in the heart of the Loop, but the heart of the Loop. Surrounded by theater, culture, and Chicago's movers and shakers. Each episode brings you, as Irv Kupcinet used to say,
the lively art of conversation.
Local vibes, real conversations, and fresh ideas for experiencing the city. So pull up a chair, lean in, and let's dive into the stories that shape Chicago.
Here we are at Booth 46 at Petorino's Restaurant. All right, now this is amazing. The guest that I have right now, at this very moment, Felissa Ray is the author of Raising Simba, Simba as in the Lion King. But she's not a lion tamer. We'll explain what that is all about. And my friend Liv Warfield is here, who you have seen. You've heard her, even if you don't know it. All right. I want to start with you, Felissa. The book Raising Simba, give me one sentence as to what that book is about and why the heck, what motivated you, a respiratory therapist, if I got that right, to write a book about raising your son, Aaron?
Well, first, I would be very transparent in saying that it took 7 years for me to write this book.
That's a while.
And yes, yeah. It is. And my book is about me, actually, and me growing up in the city of Chicago in Allgale Gardens in the projects, and the lessons that I learned growing up and how I applied them to Aaron's life. Which resulted in the career that he has today.
And also resulted in a career you have, as it turns out, as a book author.
Yes.
A best-selling book.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? I've written books. Yes. And I know how difficult it is for a book, anytime, to stand out. And you've done that. Did that surprise you?
Yes, it did, because I originally wrote the book for my granddaughter, who was still in her mother's belly, because I wanted her to have some history on me and her grandparents and her dad. So, yes, it surprised me. It did. I had no idea that this would happen, that it would become a bestseller. I had no idea.
And, of course, The Lion King opens October 3rd at the Cadillac Palace Theater right here in Chicago. And right here in Chicago at Petorino's is where we are right now, literally across the street from the Cambria Hotel, where Trattoria Zanzani has been performing for a while. And you have been in the show for a while, Liv Warfield.
Hello.
Hello, Steve.
You are amazing.
Blessed. Thank you.
I'll tell you, there are certain performers you see on stage and you say, I'm trying to snap my fingers. I'm not sure if that's coming across. But uh-huh. As quick as you can snap your fingers, you say, this
bless.
Person has got it. All right. What Steve Dale says, that's totally unimportant. A guy by the name of Prince actually said that.
Yes.
Tell me that story about how he became your mentor and wrote a song specifically for you.
Well, he found me and discovered me on YouTube. And I wasn't in search of actually trying to sing with him. I think there were some other singers with him, and they were like, you know, Prince is looking for another background singer. And she came to me, and I was like, no, I don't think so. I don't have that job. No. And then 3 months later, I get a call out the middle of nowhere, of course, in Prince fashion. just he's like, hello, I'm Prince. I love your voice. I would love to meet you. And I was like, wait a minute. I was in the salon. I think I probably told you the salon. I was in the salon getting my hair done, honey. And then I got the call, and I was in the back room, and he was like, I love your voice. Would you come to Paisley Park? And, you know.
You were in the bathroom?
No, I was in the salon.
In the salon.
And then I went to go hide in the bathroom.
Oh, I see. So
have
did
this
you,
conversation.
So the guy on the other end of the phone says, I'm Prince. Did you even believe?
Yeah. No.
Did you think that one of your friends is just like?
No. He was like, hello, Liv, this is Prince. What? Like, it's just very simple, you know? And I'm like, okay. And then he's like, I love your voice. Will you come to Paisley Park? And like, the rest, honestly, is history, because I was green. He took a chance. And that's what I love so much about him being a brother, a mentor, a true musician, a true person. You know what I mean?
What was
for
he
the
like?
Love of art. Funny, very mysterious, and very, very much about his work. Very much about creation.
You worked with him for a while.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How long?
7 to 8 years.
Did you feel like you ever knew him?
Absolutely. I mean, I in the iteration that I was in the band with him, and that was, I want to say, 2010, up until, you know, he transitioned. That's how long I had the wonderful chance of being able to work with him, learning how to trust my instincts, and also just being a creator and just being around creatives and energy and frequency around people. And, you know, he taught me so much about that, you know.
And I want to talk more about that, but first, the most important question I need to ask.
What?
What are you drinking?
Oh, yes. Riesling, yes. Oh, yes.
Is that a go-to for you?
Really, truly is whiskey, but we're keeping it cool right now.
Because you go to rehearsal after
this. I do.
And for you, Felisa?
I am drinking a Chardonnay.
Uh-huh.
Really smooth and mild, and I am enjoying it.
Is that your go-to?
Yes, it is.
Because you are smooth and mild?
Yeah. Such a compliment. Thank
you. And I'm having a Cabernet at this very moment. Uh-huh. Lots to choose from here at Pederino's.
Yeah.
You know, I found, and in doing these conversations, people may say, well, your guests have nothing in common. And I want to get right to what I think you both have in common. The entire message of the book, Raising Simba, to me, Felisa, is about things happen in life. You can call it adversity. You can call it opportunity. You can call it somebody is looking, or something, or someone is looking out for me in
yes.
a way that I didn't expect.
Yes.
Liv, showbiz is showbiz. So you go from Prince and being on, what, Jimmy Kimmel and David Letterman and all the others to not working as much, to all of the, and we'll talk about some of that, but all of the roller coasters that do happen in showbiz. I suspect you can relate to this notion of you keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. I think the adversity of it all for me is pretty much the thing. It's like the energy, it's the propelling, it's that kind of energy for me that keeps me going. Like for me, I'm luckily to have the foundation and also other mentors that tell me, girl, you got it. There's gonna be dark days, there's gonna be days that you don't think that you're, but you got it. It's in my DNA, it's in my ancestry.
So is it in your DNA to be like a rubber ball? You just keep bouncing back no matter what?
I want to.
You have been.
I want to, but some days it doesn't bring about that all the time. You know.
And then how do you kind of get over that? Aside from reading Felisa's book.
That's right. I mean,
talking to people like Felisa?
Absolutely, because I keep clawing at it. You know what I mean? I think for me, I'm just speaking for myself, I'm purpose-driven. You know, music for me is purpose-driven. Me singing and the lyrics and all those things are purpose driven for me. You know, I'm not just doing it just to be doing, you know, and there's some that's great, but there's purpose for me, you know.
I'm going to read a sentence or two from the beginning of this book. And I told you off, you know, before we started, and I'll tell you right now, Felisa, this is not a book I would necessarily automatically pick up, but I knew about it. And when our mutual friend Doris told me about this, by the way, she has named one of our desserts, which you're going to get whether you like it or not.
Okay.
The peppermint ice cream.
Oh, my goodness.
And she calls it Broadway in a bowl.
Okay.
And it is just that. Okay, so you write here at the very beginning of the book, I stood on a dingy street corner 3 blocks away from my apartment in downtown Chicago waiting to catch a bus and waiting to catch a break. And that's when I had to keep reading.
Oh, wow.
Just so, like that. You brought me in.
Yeah.
So talk about what you meant by that and the various ups and downs, which we don't even have anywhere near time to talk about all of, how you kept doing what we were talking about with Liv. You kept bouncing back.
So, you know, growing up in Chicago projects, I saw all the things that you see on television, the drugs, the crime, the shooting.
But right in front of your house?
Yes, right. Going to bed as a six-year-old, saying my prayers and hearing gunshots. I overcame all that because I made up in my mind that there was a purpose for me being here. And so here's the interesting thing. I grew up, became an adult, finished college, did the things I was supposed to do, got married. But I want you to know one thing. As a mom, I received a phone call one day as I was getting dressed to go to the auto show here in Chicago. And the phone call, I answered it. It was the police, Chicago Police Department, saying to me, "Ma'am, we have your 12-year-old son under arrest for assault and battery." It shook me to my core. I'd done everything right, put him in Catholic school, did all these things, and to receive that phone call. But what I did is the key that I want to share with many single moms across the world in Chicago. I brought him home. He was expelled from school. He beat up a bully. That's what happened. And the bully's mother pressed charges.
Really?
And he was on probation with the Chicago Police Department for 6 years. But you know what I did, Steve? I took him, and I did not spank him for the incident. I set him down at a table, and I talked to him, and I reached his heart. And I decided to become a homeschool mom. And homeschooling, I added the arts to his curriculum, which led him to where he is today.
And I want to talk about that, and Liv is shaking her head, yeah, I get it. So we are sitting at Pettirino's Restaurant. But did you know that Pettirino's Restaurant has more than what you see on the menu? They do. There's a bakery right here. So early in the morning, what you need to do is get up and go to the bakery. I just came back from France, and I will tell you, their croissants, can I say this without being arrested myself?
Okay.
They're just about as good as the ones I had in France. It's kind of amazing.
Wow.
I know. Their fall menu features buttery garlic, calabrese shrimp, crispy pizza con prosciutto, and taleggio slow-cooked short rib with house-made pappardelle. And yes, I know. I shouldn't even be talking about this. It makes people too hungry. In addition to that, they have an outdoor patio. It's heated. So as long as Chicago weather holds out, and I can assure you it will. In fact, Liv wants to be a meteorologist someday.
I do.
Yes.
Really?
So you can assure us the weather's going to hold out?
I don't know about that. But.
So visit Pettirino's Pasticceria and try it out. Their number one sandwich made with fresh double-baked pizza dough and delicious fillings. Oh, $6 wines as well. Now I've got your attention, I know that. All right, that's all at Pettirino's. Now, we were talking about, Liv, persistence, and then finding something that you know, to me, so many people work for a living, and they are working for a living, but they're not living their work necessarily. And I could be wrong. To me, it's the other way around with you. You found your calling.
Yeah.
Is that true? It might not be. Maybe you should be that weather forecaster instead. I don't know.
No, I think I found it at 8. I found it, and I knew that at 7 or 8 years old. But the thing is who was going to pour into me? Who saw it? That was the thing, is who saw it?
Who did see it?
Me.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
You know? Was that tough?
Yeah.
To get the confidence? You know, yeah. I read somewhere that it was karaoke that kind of brought you through. And then you jumped out of an airplane. Can you explain this?
Yeah.
Not while you were doing the karaoke necessarily.
No, that too. I did have a song when I jumped out of the plane, for sure. It was a scream. But But for the most part, I think I had to just try different things. I really didn't open up until I was 21, 20 years old. A lot of people will say, oh, were you singing in church? And we, no, I didn't do any of those things. I kept it hidden because I was too shy. I really didn't have my family. They supported me, but they didn't really quite understand what it was. And so I had to figure it out for myself. I had to go against all odds of what people thought, like, no, she shouldn't be, or no, you shouldn't be, no, you know. And I had to figure it out on my own, you know. My parents had expectations of me going to school and doing, I did the total opposite. They were like, you're gonna do karaoke and what? You're missing college class for karaoke? Girl, are you crazy? On a track scholarship at that. But it was like...
Yeah, you were an athlete.
Yeah. But it was, how can I say, it was that was the path. I know it's like karaoke, but that was my pathway of finding out who I was, amongst other things. I know we have trials and tribulations or whatever, but I kept going. Like, I was finding artists, I was finding guitar players, I was placing myself in situations to grow my art, to, because nobody could see it but me, you know.
But did that feel kind of lonely at times?
Absolutely. Because I was making to them all the wrong mistakes. All the wrong mistakes, when it was actually, this was the path. This, it was
so
what it was.
So at what point did you think you gained the was it really the karaoke? I mean, what put you through? At what point was it was the karaoke?
Honestly.
What song was it?
It was I'll Always Love You by Whitney, of course. And then Etta James.
Okay.
Oh. At Last.
At Last. Oh. So I figured that would be. So those are the two hardest songs to sing that you chose. They really are.
Yeah, it was.
So to pull that off when we've all seen karaoke, right? Mm. Most of it isn't so good. So when you actually received, and I imagine you did, applause after doing each of those impossible to perform songs. Mm. Did that give you the confidence?
No.
What was it?
I just had to keep going to shows and seeing different people. I turned my back against the crowd. Like, I was not...
So when Prince gave you that call, were you not there yet?
Kinda. I was kinda there.
Okay.
But I wasn't there like Prince would want you to be there.
And then when you appeared on show after show on network TV...
Yeah, yeah.
Including late night TV.
Yes.
And then... Mm-hmm. What we'll talk about next.
Yeah.
America's Got Talent.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, or that.
Oh, wow.
This guy Simon says, oh, shit. But we'll get there in a second. But I want to talk about where we left off, Alyssa. So you're homeschooling.
Yes.
You're exposing Aaron to the arts. But I could expose someone, random person, to the arts. It doesn't mean they have something special in them. How did you know... Or maybe you didn't, that Aaron had that something special.
Well, my mother brought it to my attention when he was 3 years old.
How did Mom know this?
I don't know. Moms just are moms. And he was three, and she said, you know, your baby didn't play with the other kids. He stood by the speaker, and he just bounced. And I was worried and concerned at first, but I just decided to go with it. I said, okay. But, you know, being a homeschool mom allowed me to create his curriculum and involve the arts. And as I discovered throughout the years that he loved singing, I decided to nurture those seeds.
Well, he would even sit next to the speakers at events you would go to and such, right?
Yeah, he would, and he would go, and he would kind of write poetry about his experiences, and then he'd sing the poetry. Then he'd get friends, neighborhood boys, together to create singing groups.
And you write about how he was different, but that was challenging at times, especially, I say back then, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it was quite challenging being a single mom and... just being transparent and not being sure that my choices to even pull him out of the school system, because I had relatives just like you, Liv, but I trusted my gut. I trusted my experiences that I had as a kid. And I had good and bad experiences in the Chicago projects, but I was able to transform and redirect some of those bad experiences and pour them into Aaron's life. And I spent days and moments just re-encouraging him and letting him know that he had everything he needed within him.
So Liv had to work for that confidence, and it took years, right? And you were able to
I think at 5 years old, at seven, at nine, even when he came home and we came home from the police station and we sat down together, I said, you know, Aaron, baby, you know, tell mommy what makes you happy. And he said music.
Yeah. And he has been on Broadway, starring in Lion King and Simba. What is he doing now?
He is still involved with the show. He's taking some transitions in Lion King, and I'm so happy about it. Aaron is called the Lion King King because he plays Mufasa, the older Simba, and Scar now. And he does coaching behind the scenes, because he's been with the show for about 12 years now. So he's a senior in the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we are about to experience the most amazing thing in the world, and that would be peppermint ice cream from Petterino's.
Oh, wow.
I know. This is what our friend Doris calls Broadway in a bowl. Oh, and when you taste it, you will know why. So, Liv, it's a little known fact that you will sing better, stronger, with peppermint ice cream.
Oh, yes. Let's try that now.
Yes. We'll see if it works.
Will I be able to transfer that energy over to Aaron?
Yes, you can. All right. So here's what I want to know. You're on America's Got Talent. It's called the Golden Buzzer. And there could be no greater honor on national TV. And yet you didn't win the thing. And Simon said amazing things about you. All the judges did. How could they not? By the way, what did you bring? 74 members of a horn section into this thing?
Maybe 100 plus.
Yeah,
no.
I know. You had so many musicians in back of you, you know.
It was so much.
And it was
much.
Such a powerful Tina Turner-like performance.
Oh, bless, yes.
It really was. There's no question that he, you know, I mean, no one was surprised when he hit that golden buzzer.
Mm.
So was this another downer, or was it a good thing?
To be honest with you,
you didn't win at all.
Being human, it's both emotions. Naturally, you would want to feel like you come away with, oh my God, because that moment for me was beautiful. It wasn't like I was waiting for an expectation or a validation. I just wanted the world to see us as musicians.
I think Simon knew that.
Definitely think he got that too. And
did
that
you
was
have
my
a conversation
thing.
With him
oh,
at all?
Oh, for sure. We definitely talked.
And what did
a
he
lot.
Have to? So was, it's just us talking now.
Yeah.
The three of us.
Yes.
What did he really say to you?
He said it was a joy to watch. I haven't experienced that kind of energy in a long time, and I appreciated that because that was the thing for me. Is I just wanted to bring the energy.
He also said something to the effect, "You deserve this." He was right.
Bless. Thank you.
He was
thank
right.
You. Thank you.
All right. So now we've come to the point where I ask some very important questions to both of you. Liv, you can go first. The best job. Quick answers here. Best job you've ever had.
Oh. Being with the purple one, honey.
Did he really wear purple?
One. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did he have purple pajamas?
I don't know about that.
And if you had answered that, I'd really worry. What's the best job you've ever had?
I think I'm living it right now, writing books about
and
single moms.
And you've got more books to come.
Yes, it's a series of six with lesson books. Follow me on Facebook. I am Felisa Ray.
She is Felisa Ray. What is the worst the job, Felisa book. Ray, you've ever had?
You know, actually, my worst job became my best job.
Which was?
My coworkers, when I was in healthcare here in Chicago at Lurie Children's Hospital, came and asked me to represent them. Yes, a respiratory therapist. And they came, it's about 80 of them. They came and asked me to lead a talk with the manager to get them a raise during COVID.
Oh,
wow. Did that work?
Actually, it did.
All right, so here's my boss at WGN Radio. Let me give you her contact info and you can talk to her. Because apparently you're a very good agent. What is the worst job you've ever had, Liv?
Mm. I don't know. Honestly, I'm being honest with you. I don't know.
There was no gig you were booked into, some garage, and thought, what am I doing here?
No, because I actually turned it out. And I
of course you
and
did.
And I wanted to make make the best out of my situation, to be honest with you. There's not anything I'm like, ooh, you know, about.
Aside honestly. From the aforementioned whiskey, what makes you the happiest?
Whiskey. And good friends, just fellowship.
Do you think we're missing something today?
Absolutely.
In that you're ahead of me, in that we don't often just sit at tables like this, mm-hmm. even, and talk with good friends or in our own homes.
I do. I think it's a major, major, major miss for me. Some people might do it, but I just think it's a miss of sense of community.
Are you talking to a good friend when you're texting back and forth? Is it the same?
One more time. I'm sorry.
When you're texting back and forth with a friend, is it the same as sitting right here with a
no.
friend?
No. Give me a good bottle of whiskey, laughter, some cigars, some, yeah. you know.
You smoke cigars?
Yes. From time to time with Frank Ferrante. But
wait, I won a contest.
Please. And it just
that's
having
the guy,
that,
that's the guy who appropriately goes around the country playing Groucho Marx.
Yes.
And he smokes cigars. Yes.
Just the kind of good, I like a good conversation like this. I like a true, really good conversation. That's what I miss. You know, I wish there was more of that, you know.
Felicia, what makes you the happiest?
You know, when a mom comes to me and asks me, how did I raise such a confident, respectful child? And, I can't put it into words.
I think you just did. Mm-hmm. The best thing for you, Liv, about Chicago?
People.
How so? You've traveled all over the world. What is it about Chicagoans?
I just feel like it's a very, very true nature type community Chicago is, for real, for real. When you step outside, you get what you get. But then there's also just a sense of community. It's almost unspoken. To be honest with you, it kind of.
Don't you have a song by that name?
What's that?
Unspoken.
Do I have?
Some? Yeah, maybe not. You should.
I should. Yeah.
Just give her an idea for a song.
Yes, yes.
But you are on my phone. Your music is.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, totally.
Thank you.
For you, the best thing
you
about
know,
Chicago.
For me, I have to say the arts. I love it so much. Mm-hmm. So much to do and so many free.
Well, you've got to see, it's not free, but you've got to see Liv and Trattoria Zanzani,
okay,
which is right across the street.
Okay.
And what was that?
No, it's just not free. No.
No, it's not free. It's not free. Free. Give it up for Liv Warfield and the author of Raising Simba, A Mother-Son Journey of Faith from the Chicago Projects to the Broadway stage. It is Felisa Ray.
Yay. Thank you.
You are both terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you, guys.
That's a wrap from Booth 46 at Pederino's, where the loop comes to life. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, keep the conversation going and keep exploring Chicago.